state patrolman tries to give you a ticket in Indiana, he can't do it. You know why? Because he's out of his jurisdiction. So when you stay in your jurisdiction, when you stay in your sphere, God has empowered you or enabled you to dominate, to rule, and to reign within that sphere. Now go over to Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 17 to 18. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. I wanted you to just hear this in the Amplified Version because this is very descriptive of where we want to go this morning. Listen to the words. But on Mount Zion in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance from those who escape. And it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess its own former possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle and burn them and consume them. And there shall be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Sounds like to me there are two houses. There is a house of Jacob, and there is a house of Esau. We understand that one is going to be inflamed with the power and the glory of God, and another one is going to be consumed by the same power, by the same fire, and by the same glory. Fire will purify one and it'll consume another. Notice with me in this particular text, there are three characteristics of this church that is set on Mount Zion. Number one, they will be for deliverance, or they will be for salvation. That means soteria. God will raise up in the last day a people who will have nothing missing and nothing broken. A people who will walk in health. A people, not healing. A people that will walk in health. Say, that's for me. So you got to claim it. You got to take your position on the mountain. That's your jurisdiction. That's your sphere. That's what God has enabled you to get and to operate in. So I'm going to claim that I'm going to operate in health. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That I'm going to be a delivering agent on the earth. That I will be myself delivered. That I will have wholeness. That I will walk in peace. That's what soteria means. That's what salvation is all about. Secondly, they shall be a people that will be holy. Holiness will be upon these people. In other words, the characteristic of their life will be that they will be set apart from the world. There will be a distinction between those that live on the mountain and those that do not. And today we saw an illustration on the platform of a crowd. And in the middle of a crowd, you can't distinguish the disciples from the crowd. They're all listening to Jesus. But at some point, at some moment, that crowd is going to be identified and disciples will break forth. This is what will happen in this last day. God will raise up a people that will be holy. They will be set apart. You will notice them. You will be able to identify them. You will be able to recognize them on the earth. They no longer will look like, act like, and talk like the world. And then number three, they will possess their former possessions. In other words, their possessions that they possessed at one time, they will take them back. They will recover all. They will overtake. They will be people that will reinitiate that which has been lost. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 3, that through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves unto you. Not to me, not to the local church, not to a denomination, but through the greatness of His power, your enemies, O God, shall submit themselves to you. Now notice it didn't say just through your power. It said the greatness of your power. There is a differentiation between the power of this world and the power of God. And just like Pharaoh, his magicians had power, but God's power was greater. Amen? Look at somebody and say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says that power is for purpose. Everybody say that with me. Power is for purpose. You might want to write that down. Power is for purpose. God didn't give the church power so we could sing about it, or that we could talk about it, or that we can write books about it. God gave us power for purpose, and it's always for release. Everybody say with me, power is for release. Acts chapter 1 and 8. He said, after the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. In other words, when power comes upon you, then you will be released to be a witness. Until the power comes, you cannot be released to operate within your jurisdiction and sphere. The power has to come first. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, the scripture tells us there that God has given us all authority, given us all power. But until we receive the power, then we can cast out devils. Then we can tread upon serpents. But that's the release of the power that's received. So anytime there is the power of God present, it is so that there will be a release. We also find in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus walking into the synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Preaching cannot come until the power has been given. The power is the purpose for release. And so we see the captives set free. The release of the power is the captives are set free. The release of the power is so that the blind eyes are open. The release of the power is so the poor can be made rich. In other words, the release comes only on the heels of God's power. So there is purpose in power, and that is so that we might be released. Now go over to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. Hallelujah. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. Now, I want to share with you that there are many times in our life that right before that our greatest victory comes our biggest defeat. And this is so true in the scripture. You know, some of us might be going through some really difficult times right now, but I want to encourage you. Because throughout the scripture, the Bible always shows us that where there is a death of a vision, there is a resurrection of a vision. And so look at 1 Samuel chapter 30 with me and read verse 8. Here's what it says. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Well, what had happened is the Amalekites had burned the camp at Ziklag. Ziklag was David's headquarters. And while they were out battling, the Amalekites came in behind them and captured their wives, captured their children, and took all their possessions. And so when David and the men got back from one of their expeditions of war, they found all of their camp burned with fire. They found their families taken captive, and all their possessions were in the hands of the enemy. And the Bible says in that text that the men were so distraught, they turned on David. And they said, David, we're about to stone you, because you're the one that caused this to happen. And David was so distraught that he didn't know what to do. Now the scripture tells us in verse 6, and we'll get to that in a minute, that David had to strengthen himself in the Lord. Now, we want to read into this scripture to understand that strength is God's power. He knew that in order to get back what the devil had stolen, he had to first have power, because where there is power, there's release. Where there's no power or strength, there can be no release. Are you following me? So David then asked of the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, I want you to go pursue. I want you to overtake. I want you to recover everything that has been stolen. The Amalekites, if you look up that word in the Hebrew, you would find it makes reference to our flesh. The Amalekites were the flesh, and they represented the flesh, or the carnal life, or the life that we live apart from God. So we see that the life we live apart from God come in and stolen all that David possessed. Let me tell you something. If you continue to dilly-dabble with God and live a lukewarm Christian life, your flesh will cause you to lose all your possessions. Your family will be under attack. Your money will be under attack. Your future and your dreams will be under attack. It was the Amalekites that came in and stole from David. Now, there's no other way of getting it back. If you're here this morning and you're hoping you can get counseled to get it back, or somebody can pray for you to get it back, that is the biggest misnomer in the church. We think because we lost some stuff, our sons, our daughters, our marriages, our money, our peace, that all we have to do is come to church and have the pastor pray for us that God would bring that back, that all of a sudden we'd go home and whoops, there it is. But you know what? That's not the way the Bible says it happens. You and I cannot receive what we formerly possessed without the fire of God inflaming our lives. We read that in Obadiah chapter 1, or the only chapter, verses 17 through 18. Now look at Luke chapter 16 with me and verse 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. Anyway, Luke chapter 16, verse 16. But until John came, there were the law and the prophets. Since then, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, is being preached. And everyone strives violently to go in, or would force his own way rather than God's way into it. From the time until John till now, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everybody is pressing, striving, forcing their way in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 and 15, we read of the sphere of influence that God has given you. Church, I want you to know that you are ruling and reigning with Christ. You are a child of God. You are a prince or a princess. You are part of the royal family of God. You are not a servant. You are not insignificant. You are not a pauper, but you are a child of God. You are not a slave. You are not a slave. You are now a child of God. You own the farm because your daddy owns the farm. Don't get an attitude like the elder brother, that when the younger brother came back and he had a great feast for him, remember that? And the elder brother said, Lord, our father, you never give me a party. How come you never kill the fatted calf for me? And the father said, listen, you own the whole thing. You could have anything you want anytime you want it. See, I believe the biggest challenge of the church in this age is to understand who they are in Christ. We really don't understand the kind of authority and power that we operate in, and the domination that God has given us in the sphere or in our kingdom. Go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let me show you this in verse 13. It said, we, on the other hand, will not boast beyond our legitimate province and proper limits, but we will keep within the limits of our commission, which God has allotted us as our measuring line, and which reaches and includes even you. Paul's saying there is an assignment God has given me, And I have full authority within that assignment. And that authority or that region of assignment includes you. He's talking to the Corinthians. That's why, mom and dad, you have to understand that your children are in your jurisdiction. Their futures are in your jurisdiction. Who they marry, where they go, what they do. Their future is under your jurisdiction. Look at verse 15. We do not boast, therefore, beyond our proper limit over other men's labors. But we have the hope and confident expectation that as your faith continues to grow, our field among you may be greatly enlarged, still within the limits of our commission. In other words, I want to walk fully in the complete assignment that God has given me. I don't want to go beyond the assignment, but I want to fully embrace the entire assignment that God has given me. There are some of us here this morning who have not really fully embraced the complete call of God upon our life. We're only walking partially in the jurisdiction or the sphere that God has assigned us. And Paul said, listen, I want to be able to dominate the entirety of what God has given me. I want to walk in it fully. I want to be careful that I don't go beyond the limit, but I want to operate within the limit, and I want to have complete dominion. Here's what sphere means. It means to rule. It's an area of control, influence. It's a domain. It's a portion. It's a jurisdiction. That's what sphere actually means. Further, it means this: taking dominion. Taking dominion. And to take dominion is to right to govern and the right to control. Now, let me just intersect something here with this truth. You have a right and you have the power to govern how you feel every day. And if you're walking in heaviness and depression, you're not taking control and dominion. Now, there are some exceptions. Physiological imbalances that need to be balanced. But large percentage of the people turn their focus off of their dominion and jurisdiction and onto the assault of the problem. And as a result, our soul becomes heavy and we begin to feel moody or we feel defeated, when in essence we have the authority and the power to have dominion over every negative thing that would happen around us and in us. Because we have to make a choice every day as to whether or not we're going to focus on the world's input through the natural five senses, or I'm going to focus on the spiritual input through my spiritual senses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When I look upon the mountains, the Lord's strength and help comes to me. So we have sight, we have taste, we have touching the Lord. We have the spiritual senses just like we do the natural senses. So I have a choice now, and I'm going to take dominion by not allowing these that are in my jurisdiction to rule me, but that I am going to rule it. Power is the prerequisite for walking in dominion. You and I have to be endued with power. You and I need the power of God to operate within our life. Now, a lot of times we look at power and we think, what in the world is the power of God? Is it what we feel when we're in a good worship service? Is it what we sense when we're in a deep meditation and prayer? Well, that might be manifestations of that power, but I don't believe that necessarily is the power. So what is the power of God? I've heard evangelists say when somebody's slain the spirit, they go, oh, the power of God. Okay, that might be a manifestation of the power of God. It's like to see the leaves blowing and we go, oh, look, there's the wind. No, that's not the wind. That's the manifestation of the wind. So do we as a people even know what the power of God is? And if we do, where does it come from? And when I'm weak, how am I made strong? How do I tap in to this power? Now remember when God called Moses to go back to Egypt and deliver the Israelites out of slavery, out of bondage. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't follow me? He said, listen, they'll follow you because I am with you. And he said, well, I don't know what. And he said, what's in your hand? He said, well, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. And he threw the rod down. And the rod became a serpent. We know that the story of the deliverance of Israel was that 10 different gods of Egypt had to be defeated face to face with the power of God. And Moses had the power of God, and the rod represented something for which the power of God ensued. The power of God came through the rod of Moses. We know that the rod is that which the shepherd uses to bring guidance to his people and to bring protection to his sheep. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you and I have got to develop a superiority consciousness. Not an inferiority consciousness, but a superiority consciousness. We as the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, I have been made superior. Superior to what? Other people? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I have been made superior to my flesh. I have been made superior to sin. I have been made superior to Satan. I have been made superior to sickness. I have been made superior to all the elements or the enemies of God that are on the earth. Because it is the greatness of his power that will cause these enemies to submit to Jesus Christ. You see, my goal in life is to submit those enemies to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So develop a superiority consciousness. How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 tells us we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are a son of the Most High God. A prince doesn't act or think with low self-esteem. A prince or a princess walks around not with their nose up in the air, but with their nose straight ahead and their shoulders squared, and they walk with a regal trot to let everybody know that the prince has just entered the room. They're raised from birth to recognize that they're not like other people. They are having a superiority consciousness beginning to develop in their life from the time that they are first born. Ladies and gentlemen, get your children while they're young. Teach them that they are not normal children. They are ambassadors for God. That they have been birthed into this generation for the purposes of jurisdiction in the sphere that God has awarded to them. We've got to get rid of the grasshopper mentality. And Satan has worked hard on all of our lives to make us feel rejected, make us feel inferior, make us feel less than, make us feel unworthy. I'm here to tell you today, you are worthy. You are great. Greatness is in you. You're a contributor. You're a plus and not a minus. You're above and not beneath. God said, I have died literally just for you. He bought the entire field. He bought the entire field. He came into the whole world that he might find you. And he died for you. And so today, understand that you've been adopted into his family. Your father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you walk with the glory of God upon your life. Stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to your flesh. Revelation 12 and verse 10 said the devil was already cast down. He was already cast down. That means he's already been defeated. And Jesus left no power in the hands of the devil. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And I now give you that authority. See, we have to rehearse these things in our mind to recognize who we are in Christ and what we're to do in this earth. We need to possess our former possessions. When Israel was about to enter into the promised land, Joshua, this great mentor, this great protege of Moses, he understood that he had to have something besides his military prowess. Joshua was trained as a military man. Joshua was mentored by the greatest man on the face of the earth at the time, Moses himself. Now, I just want to say something else as well. Jesus said there was no greater person on the earth but John the Baptist. No other prophet, none. Daniel, Jeremiah, none of them. No greater person. Understand that. No greater person. Jesus said that. Do you remember he said that in the Bible?
Yeah.
Now this will help you as well. Some of you that are still having some Roman Catholic background, you wonder, should I worship Mary? If you're going to worship anybody, worship John, because Jesus said he was greater than everybody. I think we got it confused, don't we? Isn't that what Jesus said? Well, don't worship John either. But what I'm trying to tell you is, here's what Jesus said about that. He said, but even the least of these in my kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And we're walking around hanging our heads. We're walking around wondering if we're going to make it through the day. We're wondering if God's going to meet our needs. And God said, these are even greater than John the Baptist. And before him, nobody else on the face of the earth ever preached and lived any more powerfully than John, the least of them. Do not sell yourself short. Do not listen to the world's interpretation and definition of your life. Be it your gender, be it your race, be it your age. Don't let people classify you, stereotype you. Worse yet, don't you stereotype yourself. Don't you classify yourself. And Moses imparted his spirit to Joshua. He laid hands on him, and the spirit that was on Moses came upon Joshua. I would think he would be ready to go have jurisdiction, but that's not the case. Go to Joshua chapter 1 in verse 7 and 8. And prior to the launching the campaign into the promised land, here's what happened. God begins to speak to Joshua. And in verse 7, he says this, only you be strong. Everybody say, be strong. And very courageous. Say, very courageous.
Very courageous.
That you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Here Joshua had been born in the church. Here Joshua was mentored by one of the greatest leaders of all time. Here Joshua received the same spirit that was on Moses upon himself. And now God said, look, before you can go in and conquer, before you can have jurisdiction, before you can rule and reign in that assignment that I've given you, you must become strong and courageous. So there must have been something else that Joshua had to have in order to have his dominion. Church, just because you showed up this morning, just because you carried a Bible, just because you walked to the altar one day and you received Christ as your Savior, just because you prayed this week, just because you gave in the offering, does not mean that you are ready and empowered to be able to have jurisdiction and dominion over your sphere of influence. What is it that we need? He said, I've got to be strong. I've got to be courageous. And so I began to discuss with the Lord. I began to inquire of the Lord. Father, what does it mean to be strong? And this is what he told me. He said, it means this in the Hebrew, to grasp, to seize, and to hold on to, take a hold of. In other words, Joshua, I want you to grasp. I want you to seize. I want you to hold on to every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Don't let this word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be strong. Seize and lay hold of this word. Why? Look at Proverbs chapter 24 And verse 5, this is going to help you. This will bless you. This will help you get your sphere under control. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. 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 Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We sing about it and don't even know where it comes from. How to get it. How to operate in it. And the Bible tells us clearly that the power of God is in the knowledge of God. The power of God is in the wisdom of God. The scripture tells us in verse 5 that the wise man is strong and he is strengthened and increases in his strength of his power because he is a man of knowledge. Daniel chapter 11 and 32 says this, the people that do know their God shall be strong. We talk about doing exploits, but you can't do exploits until you're strong. You can't have a release until there's power. The power comes, hallelujah. How does it come? Because we're in a Holy Ghost worship service and we feel the power? No. The power comes when you lay hold of and grasp His Word. His Word will be power in your life and it will cause you to possess your former possessions. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says this, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How do you become strong in the Lord? To become strong in the Lord is to become strong in His Word. Become strong in His Word. You ought not to go anywhere where you don't have a Bible. So I'm just going up to get some milk and some bread. Take your Bible. At least put it in a CD in your car. Why? Because there's strength in that word. There's strength in that word. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. A wise man is strong and he increases in strength with his knowledge of the Lord. Oftentimes when I'm working out physically, I don't feel no strength. I feel weakness. I feel pain. I have to push through. A lot of times when I'm reading my Bible, I don't feel any power. I'm pushing through, trying to stay awake, trying to finish reading my Bible. I'm trying to look for some revelation. But how many know that when in the natural, you have to push through? And even though I may not feel the strength coming into me, that if I keep doing it day in and day out, year after year, that I'm going to end up stronger than I was before I started. How many know that? It's the same thing in the Word of God. Man, get your Bible. I'll begin to read it. Say, oh, I don't even understand. It doesn't matter what you understand or not, because God's Word will be imparted to you. And you'll get strength. And you'll get power. And you'll get the glory of God. What do you need that for? For the release. For the release. The release of what? The release of your health. The release of nothing missing, nothing broken. The release of your joy. The release of your peace. Come on, man. The release of God's kingdom on the earth and in your life. There's no release without power. I just get the preacher to pray for me. You know, I can... All right, these curls are for Joey. You feeling it, Joey? I'm going to be lifting for you this week. I'll be lifting for you. We have dumped so much stupidity on the kingdom.
Pray for me, Pastor, so I can get this breakthrough.
All right, I'll be in the gym this morning. I'll work out. I'll read my Bible. I'll get the strength of God so I can bring you through your weakness. Look, all I know is about the five virgins that had their own oil. I can't give you my own oil. God made this where I've got to fill my reservoir. God made it where you got to fill your reservoir. And here we are trying to fake God out by coming in for prayer. Now, I'm not dismissing the power of prayer because we're two or three agree touching anything. We know it shall be done. But I'm talking about possessing your land. I'm talking about your jurisdiction. First John chapter 2 and 14 says, you are strong. And the word abides in and from. You know the word. You're strong because the word abides in you. That's what John said in his first letter. Then he said, be courageous. Be courageous. Well, before I move on to courageous, let me just say about strong in the Greek. In Hebrew, it just means this. It means harden your mind. Harden your mind. Be strong. Joshua, be strong. Harden your mind. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how big they are, how fortified their cities look like. Harden your mind. I don't care what Pharaoh says. Harden your mind. I don't care what your family says and what your sister thinks and what your pastor from your other church told you. Harden your mind. You got to harden your mind. You know anybody that's hard-minded? You know anybody that's stubborn? Can't hardly change their thinking? God says, get like that in my word. Get like that in my word. Then he said, be courageous. It means to encourage and to inspire with hope, confidence, and resolve. There's moments in the kingdom of God that we can begin to embrace. Church, come on. We can begin to embrace and make such an impact in this age. It will cause religious heads to spin. 1 Samuel chapter 30, going back to the story of David, and I'm going to end with this, but I just want you to get this in the Word. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David said this, he was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You say, well, what did David do? He had to inspire himself. He had to put hope back in him. He had to do something to get strong again in order to get his possessions. What did he have to do? He had to get in the Word of God. He had to begin to meditate upon the Word of God. What did God speak to you? Thursday night, the preacher said, go back and revisit the prophetic words that have been given to you over the years. Begin to redig those wells again. Begin to claim what God has spoken over you and over your family and over your city. And don't let the devil steal it. And David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Some of you think, well, he had to put on some Hillsong tapes. Or he had to put on what's the guy's name? Can't think of his name now. I can't think of any of them. Anyway, you had to play the B3. You got to get your dance on. You got to get encouraged. You got to get a preacher to preach to you. No. David didn't do that. David remembered something. David remembered himself. Remembered something. He remembered when Prophet Samuel came over to him one day and he said, "You are the anointed king of Israel." Amen. He said, "No, I don't want your brothers. Don't you have another son?" "Well, I got one out there, but he's just a little boy. He's out there. Bring him." And when he saw him, he said, "The king of Israel." And he anointed him with a flask of oil, a horn of oil rather. And David had to remember something in the middle of his struggle. David had to remember something in the middle of his defeat. That I am the anointed of God. That I have a promise of God that I rule and reign. That the throne of Israel is my destiny. And he was hiding out in caves. He was acting like a madman in front of the Philistines. He just had his whole home ransacked. His wife captured. His children captured. And the only thing that could encourage him, glory to God, the only thing that would inspire him, the only thing that would get him back was to recall what God has said about him. And church, some of us are going through hell. Some of us are going through much trouble. The only way you're going to get your strength and your courage and the power power of God back is to begin to declare that I have been anointed by God and that I am walking in the power of God, that I have a future, that I have a hope, that my God is for me. Nobody's going to be against me. Greater is He that's in me and He that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm about to break through and not break down. And what happened? He overtook, he pursued, and he recovered all. I declare to you right now, get strong in the Lord. Why? For release. There's stuff out there that belongs to you. There's stuff out there that belongs to your family and your children. Don't you let it go by. Don't you let your children miss their destiny in God. The next chapter, 31. The next chapter after David encouraged himself in the Lord. One chapter away. What happened? What happened? Saul was killed. And David said, touch not that anointed of God. I'm not taking my future into my hands. God knows what's going on. I believe that if David had never strengthened himself in the Lord in chapter 30, he'd have never taken the seat of the throne of Israel. He was at the lowest point of his life. He was at the darkest moment of his life. And yet he had to strengthen himself. He had to become strong in the Lord. He had to let the power of God begin to well up within him. And when he did it, hallelujah, he got the victory. And one chapter later, he became king of Israel. You're only one chapter away, baby. I mean, you might be just a few verses. Don't you give up now. Don't you get tired now. Don't you begin to get cranky on me now. Come on. This is not the moment to back down and back up. This is the moment to press in and press on. This is the moment to rise up and declare that my God is able to do all that He has commanded in His Word. Everybody say with me, I am strong. In the Lord. And the power of His might. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am above only. I am blessed when I rise up and when I lie down. Look at 2-3 people and say, you're looking at one powerful dude or dudette. Come on. You're looking at one powerful dude or dudette. Come on. Hey, you're looking at one powerful man of God. You're looking at one powerful woman of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're looking at a prince. You're looking at a future king. I'm going to be a king, and he's the king of all kings. I am a lord, and he is the lord of all lords. I rule my jurisdiction and my domain with God's power. Devil, I want you to know, don't you come into this kingdom. Because if you try to come up here in this kingdom, I will declare an edict against you. And the power of God, whoo, glory to God, the power of God will take you out. Come on, somebody thank the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord this morning. No one sees the power of God without first craving for it. I'm craving for the power. I want the power. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want all of it. Don't want a little dab. I want all of it. I want everything God has for me. And the only way you're going to get it is get out of the TV, get out of the People magazine, get off the internet, get in the Word of God, and begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord. On Mount Zion, not halfway up the mountain, not a mediocre lifestyle. I'm changing the way I live. I'm changing the way I think. I'm changing the way I move. I'm changing the way I relate to life. I am changing. I am not going back to a routine. I'm not going back to a rut. I'm never going to be defeated, and I'll never quit. I am above all. I'm on top. I'm the top shelf. I'm the number one dog. I'm numero uno. I'm going to possess the former possessions. There's things my family gave up before I got saved because they didn't hear the voice of God. They didn't live the kingdom life. There's stuff that was given to my family in the past that they got stolen. I'm aiming to get that back too. Not just what was stolen from me, but my father and my grandpappy and my grandpappy's grandpappy. I want to go all the way back to all the generations and declare what the devil stole from them, he has to pay it back. And I'm going to possess all my former possessions. But you've got to be truly born again. You can't come up in here and play around with this thing. Well, I like to be a Christian. I'm a Christian on Sunday, but, you know, I just leave it at the church. Listen to me. John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power. Become sons of God. You got to receive him. Not mentally acknowledge him. Receive him. Only those who receive him can walk in dominion. Salvation is not an escape route to heaven. And if all of you are doing is sitting back waiting for you to get to heaven, I'll fly away, oh glory. Great song, but you know what? It is not an escape route to heaven. It is a seal of dominion on the earth. God redeemed you to be salt and to be light and to penetrate this generation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this morning and you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. If you were to die today, I'm going to ask this question. Why have you not received Christ into your life? Come on. God's got a future for you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a destiny for you. God's got a jurisdiction for you. Come on. Why would you sit back and wait? Today is a day of salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today. Say, Pastor, I want that prayer. I want to give my life to Christ. I want you to lift your hand up. Do it right now. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Come on. That's you. Hold it up high. Don't you be bashful about it. Get it up there. That's right. Come on. Thank you, sir. Come on. Somebody else. Anybody else. Come on. Do it right now. Thank you over there. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on. This is your moment. This is your time. Don't wait on it. Don't wait on it. How many are here today as Christians? Thank you. You can put it down and say, you know what? I believe in God, but you know what? I've not been on the top of the mountain. I've only gone halfway. I'm going all the way with God. I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm going to get in the spiritual gym of my life, and I'm going to get the power of God so that I can possess and have dominion over my jurisdiction. If that's you, lift your hand up. Lift your hand up, not to me, but to God. Many hands have gone up. Right now, altar ministers, I want you to come. Everybody stand up to your feet. Mr. Troy, I want you to come and pray for the people. Bring them into the place of repentance. And I want you to know this morning, church, that you are awesome and you are on your way to a complete and total victory. I feel it in my spirit so much. I wish I could just blow it into your spirit. God is moving in your life today to give you victory. And I believe today, now every one of you that raised your hand, I don't care if it was for the first call or the second call, get out from where you're standing. Come on, do it right now. Don't look around. Just get out from where you're standing. Come down here and pray with somebody and say, listen, I'm going all the way with God. I'm not playing anymore. I'm going all the way with God. Come on. Sir, way in the back. Come on. You need to come. Come on for prayer. Come on for prayer.
Man, if you raised your hand, come forward now. Church, let's extend our hands toward those who are praying this morning. Before you do that, though, look to your left and your right. Just ask the person next to you, did you raise your hand? I'll go with you. Come on, encourage each other right now. Take the time to do that. Just look to your left and your right. Say, you need to go all the way to the top of the mountain. You need to be there. Let me show you the way. And take them by the hand and bring them up here. Let's pray for these, church. Put your hand forward and let's pray for them. Father, we pray for these this morning. We pray that you would breathe on these. They would live again. They would come to the fullness of Christ. We pray, God, that your word would be alive to them and that power would be infused in them. God, we pray and declare them to be royalty, princes, princesses in the kingdom of God. We thank you, God, that they are above and never beneath, that they are the head and not the tail. We thank you, Lord God, that they are powerful in the spirit. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in their lives right now, that you're pouring out your spirit upon them right now. You are giving them power to do life on this earth. God, that they would make an impartation to the world in which they live. God, we rebuke sickness and disease in this auditorium now, all from every side, from back to front and left to right. We say, sickness, you be gone in Jesus' name. We are the healed of the Lord, and we walk in and operate in the healing of our God. We thank you, God, that every person in this building walks in dominion and authority. We give you praise and glory, and thank you that when we leave these doors today, we walk out of here with dominion upon us. We walk out of here with our shoulders square. God, we are confident in your word. We are confident in the spirit, and we walk with boldness and authority in this earth, and we deliver what heaven has given us. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. If you need prayer today, why don't you just make your way forward? You know, some rocks in our lives are so big, we need the power of you and me and one, maybe somebody else, to push those rocks out of our way. If you need a personal ministry time, over to your left is a little living room set up. If you need a personal ministry time, our altar workers over there. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, over to your right in that corner, in that living room set, our altar workers are waiting for you over there. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you Thursday night. God bless you.